This afternoon, I want to continue our study through the book of Acts. So if you have your Bible, and will turn with me to Acts. And this afternoon, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at Peter really being stretched in his understanding of what God meant by his word when he said, in his promise to Abraham, that the whole world would be blessed through Abraham and not just his descendants. And Peter's going to have to deal with this in our lesson this afternoon. And God began to have him deal with it even when he went to Joppa, where, if you remember from those of you who were here Wednesday night, Peter stayed with Simon the Tanner in Joppa. And being an Orthodox Jew, like Peter was, and following the law, that he would have never stayed there before. But evidently, Simon the Tanner was a believer, and Peter stayed with him. When we were in Joppa, we saw where supposed Simon the Tanner lived. Whether he did or didn't, I don't know, but that's what they told us in the old portion of what was Joppa. And that's where Peter was. And it stretched his understanding. But God's even going to take it a step further today. Because Peter is going to be called to witness and share the gospel with not only one, but more than one Gentile. And the centurion from Caesarea. So let's begin by reading chapter 10, verse 1. And there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave more alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to know. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And when Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he which ye seek. What is the cause wherein ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house, and to hear words of thee. Then callest he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to understand that, Lord, you call us to proclaim your truth. Sometimes we're uncomfortable with the situations you put us in, but if you've called us, we need to heed and to go. Lord, help us to learn from the account of Peter and learn that your calling on our life and the opportunities that you place before us are placed there that we may accomplish what you have not only set for us to accomplish, but to touch other hearts and lives as well. Speak to us through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know from the Gospels that Peter and the other apostles, the majority of the other apostles, Matthew being one that wouldn't have been real orthodox because he was collecting taxes for the Romans, so they would have looked down upon that. But we know that Peter and Andrew and James and John and followed the law and went to Jerusalem for the feasts, and they knew the law. And so when Peter is confronted with this event that is going to happen where he's called to God to go to a Gentile, this is not a light thing. Now, I want you to understand how God will bring people into people's lives when they're calling out to him and want to know truth. The first thing I want you to look at is who was calling. It was Cornelius. And as we said on Wednesday night, Cornelius, it says he lived in Caesarea, which Caesarea would have been the Caesarea that is located about 30 miles north of Joppa on the coast. At this time, it was one of the main ports that Herod the Great had made a huge port there. If you go to Israel, you can go there and you can see some ruins of that are still there from that port. And Caesarea, it says, there was a band of Italian soldiers there from Rome, and that this man was a centurion. That is, he was the leader of 100 men. And so he was the one that was over this group of men stationed in Caesarea from Italy. We know for sure that he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. However, he was very interested in the things of God. And although it doesn't indicate that he had fully become a proselyte Jew and had become a Gentile who had converted to Judaism, yet it said he was God-fearing, he prayed often, he gave tithes and saw to the needs of people, and was well-respected by all those who knew him. In other words, he showed all the characteristics of seeking to follow God and to be used by God and to reflect God's character to men. However, he had heard about what was happening. Now, if you're a centurion in Caesarea, and remember the area that all of these people were getting saved and all of these miracles were being done, was in his region. They had been done down at Lod, down at south, just west of Joppa, there had been people that had been healed. Dorcas had been raised from the dead. Those things had gone throughout the region, and it says that many people were coming to faith because of that. Well, I'm sure that he heard about that, but also he was not living in a vacuum, and the people that were part of the Roman soldiers would have known what went on in Jerusalem when Jesus had been arrested, crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. And he would have heard about those things. And being a God-fearing man, I'm sure that he had questions about that. And it's interesting, even today, there are those that live in situations where the gospel isn't readily available in their particular situation, but yet God brings people into their lives and allows for circumstances to happen where they can hear the gospel and not only hear it but respond to it. Now, it's interesting as you look at what's happening in our world today, there are many countries. Just to give you a little update on what's happening with our own website, we hadn't had people from Israel look at our website maybe once in a great while, but lately there's been at least one viewer from Israel every day for about the last 3 weeks. And there's been visitors from Australia and Great Britain just about every day for the last 3 weeks. There's been visitors from countries in Africa. There's been visitors from Russia. And we never had anybody look at it from Russia, but now we've been seeing people looking at our website from Russia. And some of these people, especially the ones in Israel, they're not just clicking on the website, going through the pages and leaving. They're actually staying and looking. I can see that because of the time they're spending there. And so just pray that God would bring people, even to our little website, that need to hear about the gospel, need to hear about Jesus, and are questioning and looking. Just as this centurion soldier from Rome had questions. Well, he's praying to the Lord, and the Lord hears his prayer. And we see here, and he's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And I want you to see one other thing about this man. His house, those that were members of his family believed as he believed. And so he wasn't a closet believer. He wasn't someone who was kind of hiding out seeking God but not letting anybody know. He let his family know, and they sought God as well. Now, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that an angel of God coming in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And if you can imagine, I'm sure that he was troubled by that. What is an angel speaking to me? And he cries out, and he said unto him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God's heard, and he's going to answer your prayers. God hears the prayers of those that diligently seek him and desire to learn more about him and serve him. And so just remember that when you're asking God, bring somebody into my life today that I can share the gospel with. Maybe that person's been praying, Lord, will you bring somebody in that can talk to me about what Jesus is all about? Can you bring somebody into my life that will be able to help me understand what the Bible is written about? Because I read it and I don't quite get it. But today maybe you could bring somebody into my life. Maybe you're that person. Well, Peter was that person in this case. And so the Lord's going to reveal to Cornelius he needs to go down and get Peter to come up to Caesarea and share with him the full gospel message. And he goes on, he says, And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner. And again, here you see that the Lord is revealing to him where he's going to be staying, and he's staying in this man's place to tan skins for a living. And as I mentioned on Wednesday, Peter is already taking a step to realize outside of his comfort zone and understanding of God's Word, and that he would stay with a man who really would be unclean in the eyes of an Orthodox Jew, because he would be touching dead things, because this man evidently was a believer, and Peter is staying with him, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to know. And so Peter is going to be commissioned to go and share the gospel with Cornelius. And when the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And so these men would be in do obediently whatever Cornelius asked. They understood that they were his servants, and they were under his command, and he sent them. And he told them what to tell Peter when he got there, that they were to tell him all that had happened, and that this angel had appeared, that Cornelius had been inquiring, and that God had said to send and have Peter come. Now when they went, they're on the way, and so I want you to understand these events are happening, and neither one knows the events happening. That's what's amazing. Peter doesn't know these guys are coming. These guys don't know what's happening with Peter. Do you realize right now there's a lot of things like that happen in our lives? We don't understand, nor do we know, but God somehow can orchestrate events, and he can bring about circumstances so that his will be accomplished in the lives of people who desire to serve and do his will. And if you can look back at your own life, I can think in my life of incidences where God brought me into friendships or relationships or circumstances with people, and it was right at that time that those people needed to hear something as I would share with them or they with me. Or maybe it would be years later. Maybe somebody in your past that knew you were a Christian, yet God will cause them to come into your life now because now they need to know about Jesus and you can tell them. But God can orchestrate these events. He did here. Now, he's got to get Peter ready to share the gospel with a guy who's not only a Gentile, but he's a Roman soldier, and not only a Roman soldier, but of the Italian band. That's an elite group of the Roman Guard. And not only an elite group, but he is a leader within that group because he's a centurion that is in control or over 100 Italian soldiers. And so Peter is going to be called to share the gospel and tell about Jesus and the full account of who Jesus was, and that he came in fulfillment of the prophets and the Messiah as the Messiah, and that he died not only for the Jewish people, but for the whole world's sins. And so how are you going to do that with Peter? Because I said, it's stretching Peter to stay at Simon the Tanner's house. And he's a believer, evidently. So how is Peter going to be wanting to go 30 miles in the opposite direction of where he's at? He had just come from Jerusalem over to Joppa, and now all of a sudden he's going to have to go north from there instead of back to Jerusalem. Well, God prepares the circumstances. First of all, Peter's hungry. And I don't know if you've ever been really, really hungry. I have, and all of a sudden, but the food isn't ready yet, and you're earnestly anticipating the meal, and Peter is earnestly anticipating eating something, and he's eating kosher, because he's always eaten kosher. And what is kosher? Kosher is according to the dietary laws of the Old Testament that God had given to the Jewish people. There are certain things that they could eat and certain things they could not eat. For example, you could eat certain type of hoofed animals. You could eat sheep and you could eat cows, but you couldn't eat cattle. Camels, rather. You couldn't eat camels because God said they were unclean. There was certain you could eat fish, but you couldn't eat those things that were scavengers, like shrimp or lobsters, or those things that would be bottom feeders. God said you couldn't; those were unclean, and you couldn't eat them. And so Peter had these dietary laws. He knew what animals he could eat, what he couldn't eat, what fish he could eat, what seafood he couldn't eat. And so he's waiting for his food. And he falls into a trance, and God has this vision that he appears. And on this vision is this, we see here, it says, "And heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to earth. And on this sheet is all the animals and creeping things, and it says, were in all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and the wild beasts. So both the domestic animals and the wild animals were on there. And creeping things and fowls of the air. So evidently, guess what? There were bugs on there too, evidently, creeping things. Everything was there. And so the Lord shows this to Peter. And he says, kill, take, and eat. And what is Peter's response? Peter's response is what a good kosher Jew would say if the Lord told him that. Well, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. I'm not going to start now. Okay? Why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? Well, he's going to be showing us in just a moment. And verse 15, and when the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. In other words, I'm the one that established the law, and if now I say something's clean, don't call it common. In other words, whose voice, whose word are you to be following? And are you to be following what the rabbis say, or are you to be following what I say? And I'm telling you right now, I'm laying all this before you, and I'm saying, I am giving you permission to take and eat anything that's on this. And so don't call it unclean, and say it's common and not for you. Now, why would God do this? Well, he's trying to show Peter whose voice he's supposed to be following, and ultimately, who is the gospel for? Now, remember, Peter was there when Jesus commanded all the apostles to take the gospel into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Now, Samaria was stretching it because they were half Jews or partial Jews. But you could still say, well, they've got Jewish blood and Jewish history. So, yeah, we could take it there. But then he says, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, which he's basically saying, and unto all the Gentiles. Now remember what had happened early in the book of Acts. There was great response to the gospel and Peter's preaching in Jerusalem, where we saw thousands come to Christ. And then we saw, remember, that they started going up into Samaria. Philip was taking the gospel up to the city of Samaria. And from there he went down into Gaza, both which were regions where there would have been those that were not Jewish, would have full Jewish, would have been in those areas. And now Peter's going to be told, but it's not just for them. It's for the whole world. And that's what God is, the lesson that God is going to be teaching to Peter. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, he doesn't understand. Why would God give him this command? Why would he give him this vision? And he doesn't understand it, and God's going to give him the answer to this with the knock on the door. And I want you to understand, sometimes we don't understand why circumstances may be the way they are, and just then we may get the knock on the door, and God reveals to us and gives us clearer understanding of why certain things have happened, or he's arranged circumstances in a certain way, and it's for his will and his purpose, and the call has been placed on our hearts and lives to do this. So it says, now while Peter doubted in himself these things, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Okay? Now, Peter doesn't know whether these guys are Jewish. He doesn't know whether these guys are Gentiles. He doesn't know who they are. The Lord just told him, three men seek you. And arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So what the Lord is telling him is exactly what the vision showed him, is he's not to doubt. Peter was saying, Lord, I can't take and kill and eat because I've never eaten anything unclean or common. And the Lord says, what I have said is clean, and what I said to eat is not common, and you are to obey. Now these guys come, and when Peter goes down and sees them, the Lord tells them, you're just to obey me, go with them, and then you'll understand the lesson that I've got for you, really. And he's saying, go with them. Because if Peter would have got down there, saw you had a Roman soldier and two Gentile servants that are with him, and he's supposed to go with them, Jewish men didn't just walk the countryside with Gentiles. It wasn't done. And yet Peter was told by God, go with the men that you see. When Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek, what is the cause wherewith ye come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. Now, Peter is being stretched even further. Not only is he to go with these men, but he's to go into the house of Cornelius, which is the house of a Gentile. Jews, Orthodox Jews, or Jews that followed the law, didn't go into Gentiles' houses, but yet he's being told to not only go in there, but explain to him everything that had been revealed to Peter about Jesus. In other words, the gospel message. Well, what's Peter going to do? Well, Peter obeys the Lord, and then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So other Christians went with Peter, and they went up to Caesarea to meet with Cornelius the centurion and in his house. Now we're going to see next Wednesday night why they went to his house, because there's a reason there too. But Peter is being stretched, but he's also being shown the full plan of God and the full vision of what Jesus meant when he commanded to take the gospel into the whole world. There's nobody that is unworthy of not hearing the gospel. And we shouldn't be the ones that determine who hears and who doesn't. And we shouldn't be the ones that say, well, I'm not going to take it even to that person, even though God's leading me to do that, because I'm viewing that they're unworthy. Instead, Peter went where he was supposed to go and obeyed God and realized that if God commands and tells us to do something, it's according to his will in fulfillment of his word. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand these things. Help us to look at these things and see that Peter fully didn't understand why you had all the animals there and told him to kill, take, and eat. And yet it began to be clearly evident to him when the centurion and the two Gentile servants show up at his door. Lord, help us to realize that you've called us to do that which sometimes we don't understand. But if it's according to your word and to your will, we are to do it. And Lord, help us to respond as Peter did in obedience and to go when we're called to go. Lord, go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to close by singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and that's hymn number 385. 385. I have decided to find